Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. And if you're tuning in, you're tuning in at a good time because we're studying the most wonderful sermon that was ever preached. And it was preached by the greatest preacher that there ever was. And of course, this is the Sermon on the Mount that was preached by Jesus himself when he was in Galilee. Now, we started on this in our last class, and we're going to go through the entire sermon, but we can't do it all at once. You may want to turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 5, and we'll begin in just a moment from verse 21, where Jesus begins to speak with that authority that says, I say unto you. Now, while you're turning there, I'll remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's consider together the Sermon on the Mount. It begins in Matthew chapter 5 with the Beatitudes. And then we read, as he's speaking to those who are gathered, what he expected out of them. They were to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And he explained he didn't come to destroy the law of the prophets. He would not undermine them. Rather, he would verify them by fulfilling them. And in fulfilling the laws and the prophets, he would then fulfill their purpose. Because all of the law and the prophets spake of him, and he was the end of the law and of the commandments, the end meaning the reason and the purpose for that law. And now he's going to give them some more commandments, the commandments of the new covenant that would apply to his kingdom. And that's why he said, who shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so? Shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, he shall be great in the kingdom of heaven. And he is about to lay forth a system of righteousness that exceeds anything that had come into the mind of the scribes and of the Pharisees as they sought to earn their salvation under the old law. And so Jesus says, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Not that they would be more exacting and particular and add traditions into keeping the law, but rather they would have an exceeding righteousness to follow because it would be a greater law into the kingdom. And unless they followed that greater law, they should in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. And then Jesus began to speak with his great authority that astonished them. Let's read this together. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 21. Ye have heard that it was said unto them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, everyone who is angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of the hell of fire. If therefore thou art offering thy gift at the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first to be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, while thou art with him in the way, lest haply the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence, till thou hast paid the last farthing. Now, in talking about what they'd heard by them of old, he's talking about their teachers, those very scribes and Pharisees. And their righteousness is going to exceed that. But while the scribes and Pharisees would teach, thou shalt not kill, and then warn of a judgment that they would face if they did kill, Jesus went further than that with a greater righteousness. And he talked about matters of the heart, that you don't just kill, you don't hate. Don't even be angry with your brother that would bring you to kill him. And God's Spirit searches the hearts. He knows the hearts. And if you don't watch your heart, then you're going to be in danger of the judgment. You see how that righteousness of the new covenant exceeded that righteousness they were being taught by those scribes and Pharisees. Hear Jesus again. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 27. You have heard that it was said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, indeed, they'd heard that. You know, the first time their fathers had heard that, they were gathered before Mount Sinai. That's where God said, thou shalt not kill. That's where God said, thou shalt not commit adultery. And it scared them. And they asked Moses to go up there and receive the law for them and read it to them rather than hear it from God. But now, God has again come to the earth, but this time on the mount, where the Sermon on the Mount is being spoken. And he's speaking with that same authority, but he's not frightening them at this time. He's winning over their hearts. And so let's read it again. Matthew 5 and verse 27. Ye have heard that it was said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that every one that looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already with her in his heart. And if thy right eye cause thee to stumble, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not thy whole body be cast into hell. And if thy right hand cause thee to stumble, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable to thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body go into hell. It was said also, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that every one that putteth away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, maketh her an adulteress. And whosoever shall marry her when she is put away doth commit adultery. Now you see the exceeding righteousness of the law of the kingdom. It's not just an outward righteousness of what you don't do, thou shalt not commit adultery. It goes all the way to the heart, doesn't it? Do not develop those lusts and passions and dwell on them in the heart. If you can keep the heart from thinking evil things, you'll keep your flesh from doing evil things. This, indeed, is an exceeding righteousness. And when he said, I say unto you, by his authority, he was giving them something much greater than anything that had ever been taught to them by those scribes and Pharisees. Hear Jesus again. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 33. Again, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shall perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by the heaven, for it is the throne of God, nor by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by one head, for thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your speech be yea, yea, nay, nay. And whatsoever is more than this is of the evil one. Oh, those foolish scribes and Pharisees had ranked the different things by which you could swear by, and saying, if you swear by this, you've really got to do it. But if you just swear by this, well, that's not so binding. But the exceeding righteousness of the new covenant said, if you say yes, then you're committed to yes. Let your yea be nay. If you say no, then you're committed to no. Let your nay be nay. Whether you swear by anything or not, you don't have to swear at all. You just say yes and no. And that is binding upon you in this kingdom of this greater righteousness. Hear Jesus again. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 38. Ye've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, resist not him that is evil. But whoso smiteth thee upon the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will go to law with thee to take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. We get so worked up about evening the score. And indeed, there is a principle of justice taught in the old law of eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. And in its context, that's a good principle. But when it comes to personal retaliation, that's not for us to do. By turning the cheek, we can turn the wrath. By going the second mile, we can make a joy out of that which would otherwise be compulsive. And so this is an exceeding righteousness. Hear Jesus again. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43. Ye have heard that it was said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Now, you know the old law did say to love your neighbor. I don't know where it ever says to hate your enemy. The scribes and Pharisees had inferred from the old law that since you are to love your neighbor, then you could hate your enemy. But that's not what Jesus meant. And that's not why the law was given. And now he's going to clear it up. In verse 44, he says, now here's this exceeding righteousness by the authority of Jesus. Here's what he says, Matthew 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Pray for them that persecute you, that ye may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth his rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them that love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the Gentiles the same? Ye therefore shall be perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect. You see, in the kingdom of God, we would be the sons of God, the sons of the Father. And the Son is to behave in a manner that brings honor and glory to the Father. By being the sons of the Father means we take upon us those very characteristics of God. God does not hate us, even when we become his enemies. Indeed, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the heart that God has toward sinful man is the heart that we are to have toward sinful man, even to those who would do us harm. And so this is an exceeding righteousness indeed. In fact, that commandment, to love thine enemies, is one of the great distinguishing features of the doctrine of Christ. And it's one of those things that is often remembered and touted as that which lifts the doctrine of Christ above that of every other way that has ever been on this earth. Who ever heard of loving your enemies? Well, we have, and we do. And in so doing, we become perfect. That is, we become complete, like our Heavenly Father is complete. And we want to bring honor and glory to him by behaving worthy of his sons. we'll continue this study in the next class.